Well, we are digging in. We just finished last week our series called Gray Areas, where we talked about these areas in life that aren't necessarily mentioned in Scripture, right? What Scripture says is very black and white, what sin is and what sin isn't. But I'm sure we've all faced situations and areas in our life where we weren't entirely sure what the guidance was. And we looked at some questions that we should ask ourselves to figure out if, as followers of Christ, this is something we should be doing or not, straight from Scripture, about how Scripture helps us to address those things. I encourage you, if you have not listened to all of those or any of them, you can go on our website, listen to them. There's an audio format that you can listen on the app as you're driving in your car, or video version as well. Excuse me, I think they'll be very beneficial to you in helping to navigate those gray areas. But this morning, I want to talk to you about going beyond normal. Beyond a normal life, specifically talking about irrational faith. If you want to follow along in your Bible, we're going to be in two main places this morning, Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1. Those are the two places that we're going to be, Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1. You see, every generation that has ever lived has thought of themselves as the normal ones, right? Just think about your generation. The generation before you was not normal because they're too narrow-minded, too rigid. They need to let loose and enjoy life. And as that generation then begins to grow older, they start to, where I'm at now, look at the younger generation as being too open-minded, too lenient, and they need to straighten up and get a grip on life. And all of a sudden, we look at the generation above us and the generation below us, and we say, hey, we are the normal ones. These ones are too tight-minded, too narrow-minded, too rigid. These people are too open-minded, too loosey-goosey with their morals and all this kind of stuff. We are the normal people. Anybody ever feel like that? You're the normal one? If you raise your hand, you're probably not the normal one. I just want you to know. See, what was normal for one generation is weird and out of touch for another generation. Leading youth on Wednesday nights, Kinsey and I will mention a TV show that we watched growing up, and they have no idea what TV show we're talking about. Saved by the Bell, Boy Meets World, wonderful TV shows that these kids have nothing to go off of. Normal entertainment is weird and out of touch. Why would I go to a drive-in movie where I have to sit in my uncomfortable car when I can just stream it straight from my phone while laying in bed? What was normal talk and lingo for one generation is now inappropriate and insensitive to another. Right? What used to be, when you would say Indians, it's now Native Americans. The word gay has an entirely different meaning than it did even 30 years ago. But there's more things that have changed between generations than these just trivial social norms of entertainment and how words are used and progressed and all of these things. For example, the thought process of a self-proclaimed atheist has changed dramatically over the last 30 years. Previously, an atheist would stake their claim in the non-existence of God by using rationality and logic through science. They'd use rationality through science and logic through philosophy to come to their conclusion that God does not exist. And for a few years, it was kind of difficult to argue with these people if you had any faith, because they would just say, well, your faith is irrational. It's illogical. How can you believe in a God that you can't physically see? And look at all of these things and these laws that we have in science and all of these theories and these philosophical answers to everything. They would just say, you're irrational, you're illogical. They believe that in the end, the base of all existence was reason, and that law of reason governs all things. They simply saw no reason at all for calling their rationality in things a gift from God, whom they could not see. It was simply there, unexplained. That was the basis of a rational atheist. But over the last 30 to 40 years, the postmodern movement has brought about a new type of atheist called a nihilist, who believes that in the end, at the base of all existence, there is no actual base. It just keeps going and going and going. And the base of existence is where you decide to stop. We've seen this in our culture, that your truth is your truth, right? Your truth may not be my truth because my base might be different than your base. My base might stop at rationality, but your base may go a little bit farther than rationality. And they say that that's okay, because there really is no end. They believe that in the end, at the base of all existence, there's no actual base, that our existence is only a joke, a fluke, an irrational flick of pure, unadulterated chance. And rationality and logic is merely a pretense for others to take comfort. You see, the atheist has gone from being a rational atheist to, in their own words, an irrational atheist. How do you argue with an irrational atheist who won't even use arguments and logic when you look at soteriological arguments about the existence of God, and you look at all of the philosophy and all of the reason and the logic and come to a conclusion that there has to be a creator of the universe? How do you argue when they say, yeah, but I don't believe in that reason and logic? See, when you study different generations, you see a pattern that each generation takes what used to be normal, and then they go beyond the normal. They take it one step farther. Faith in God to the rational atheist is considered irrational and illogical. But faith in God to the nihilist atheist is completely different. It's just a fluke. It's just a joke. There's no reason for it at all. So how they say things like, well, how can a virgin woman give birth to a child? Right? Just when you look at science and you look at logic, that does not make sense. That's what the rational atheist would say. Yet the nihilist atheist says that the rationality of their claim is just as absurd as the irrational faith of the Christian. Whoa. This is getting crazy. So the atheist, the rational atheist, says, hey, it does not make sense for a virgin woman to give birth to a child. Scientifically, logically, that doesn't happen. And the nihilist says, well, hey, your claim in that rationality is just as absurd and irrational as the faith of the Christian. So how do we as Christians address this ever-increasing new normal while remaining true to our faith that at times does seem increasingly irrational? I just want to point out this morning as well that when we use the word irrational, we normally use it as a feeling, right? Husbands, how many times have you told your wife you're just being irrational? And what does it bring up? It does not bring up logic and sound reasoning. It brings up feelings and emotions and hurt and all of these things. But when we talk about irrational faith, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about the feeling of feeling like, man, this is a bad irrational thing. Sometimes being irrational can be good, and I think you'll see that in this sermon, I hope. How does a Christian address this ever-increasing new normal while remaining true to our faith that at times seems increasingly irrational? I want to read a quote from C.S. Lewis, the famous author of the Chronicles of Narnia. And in a letter to one of his friends, Arthur Greaves, dated 92 years ago, December 24th, 1930, he says this: the trouble with me is lack of faith. I have no rational ground for going back on the arguments that convinced me of God's existence. But the irrational dead weight of my own skeptical habits and the spirit of this age and the care of the day steal away all my lively feeling of the truth. And often when I pray, I wonder if I'm not posting letters to a non-existent address. Mind you, I don't think so, for the whole of my reasonable mind is convinced, but I often feel so. Right here, C.S. Lewis, a famous Christian author, is talking about his irrational faith, but not in the way that you would expect us to be talking about irrational faith. He says, my trouble is with a lack of faith, but it's not based off of the rational reasonings I have for why God exists, the arguments that convinced me of God's existence. At the very end, he says, the whole of my reasonable mind is convinced. That doesn't sound very irrational and illogical. In his thought process, he is very rational and reasonable and logical. But the irrationality of his faith comes from the irrationality of the world. He says, it's the irrational dead weight of my own skeptical habits, the spirit of this age, the care of the day, the steal away all my lively feeling of the truth. Sometimes when we get into a situation where we have to rely on our faith in God so deeply, it's not because logically we're having an issue believing and having faith in God. It's because the situation at hand seems to be so illogical and impossible to get through that it makes our faith become irrational. That's what C.S. Lewis is talking about. He brings up a great thought that permeates many of us in our walk with the Lord. For most Christians, we actually see the rationality of there being a God who exists, who created the world and set it into motion. We believe the logical conclusion that humanity is born evil, right? There's a reason that the word no is used so much to a toddler. Because most of the time what they're doing is wrong, not right. Just ask mine. So we have a rational ground for our existence in God. But it's the irrational thoughts and feelings we experience in this world that lead to our lack of faith. It's the seemingly inexplicable and illogical situations that happen to us that cause us to doubt if God is really there. Has anybody been here this morning? Where in your mind, you know, God, you are real, God. I've experienced you in the past, God. I've placed my faith in you, but this situation seems so illogical and inexplicable and impossible. I'm starting to question, and I'm confused about if you're really here. Most of the time, when we're living our normal, everyday lives, it's easy for us to believe in a God who loves us, who cares for us, and died on the cross for us. But when our life seems to go beyond the normal limits, it can become more difficult to keep our faith intact. In fact, our faith then seems to be irrational. For me, I can look at the scriptures and at the evidence in other people's lives and believe that Jesus is my healer. I know in my mind that Jesus is my healer. I can read Isaiah 53:5 about how he was healed for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, and it is by his stripes that we are healed. I can see in James 5:13 that if any among you are sick, to call upon the elders of the church and to anoint you with oil and pray, and the prayer offered in faith makes the sick person well. In my mind, I believe that and I can see that. But that logical and rational faith to believe Jesus to bring healing, when I've seen him do it for so many other people, can become illogical and irrational when it comes to my own personal healing. And the trouble with me becomes an irrational lack of faith. See, when life starts to go beyond the normal, you have a health crisis, you're torn between what to do in your situation or in your faith or in your career or in your family. You get bad news and everything that you've been working for gets derailed. Our faith in Christ starts to seem to become irrational. What I want you to understand this morning is this, that when we face moments and situations in life that defies all logic and reason, we must have faith in a God that defies all logic and reason. See, we tend to look at our postmodern world and the emphasis on rational thought and even the new normal thought of rationality being a farce, and we somehow think that it's new, right? This is a new thing that the church and Christians have never had to come up with to face before. When in reality, two of the most unlikely people in the Bible had to learn how to navigate an irrational faith when they were faced with a situation that defied all logic and reason. And there's a few things that we can learn from them when we face these same moments in our own life and spiritual journey with the Lord. I want to take you all the way back to the beginning, to Matthew chapter 1. first chapter in the New Testament, we're introduced to two very important people, Mary and Joseph. And you may have heard this story before, but I want you to listen again to the extremely irrational and illogical situation that Mary and Joseph have found themselves in. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Hold up. Say what? That seems very irrational and illogical. It seems to be about as illogical as you can get. And I don't know about you, but when I have read this before, I've always had a slight pause in my rational thinking, questioned the authenticity of this statement, and then typically what I've done in my mind is I have dismissed it with a thought like this. Well, Mary didn't seem to be confused or question the situation. So I need to have faith more like Mary than like Joseph. Anybody ever thought that before? I think I've even heard a few sermons preached on that before. Mary, she's like, hey, this is what it is. God spoke to me. And Joseph is like, hey, I'm going to divorce you, woman. Like, this doesn't make sense. And God has to come in a dream and like reveal this big thing to Joseph to get his attention. And it's like, hey, you need to have more faith like Mary than like Joseph. But Luke 1 gives us more detail about how Mary actually responded to this illogical situation. And then Matthew shows us how Joseph responded to it. So let's look quickly at Mary's response to this absolutely impossible situation to see if she was really just had faith from the very beginning, like we normally think. Luke chapter 1, starting verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Look at this next sentence. Confused and disturbed. Have you been in a situation in life where you have faith in God, but because of this situation, your faith is now confused and you're a little disturbed? That's where Mary's at. Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." And then Mary asked the angel. She questioned God. "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." What is Mary doing? She is found in a very illogical, irrational situation in life. She is a Jewish woman. She has faith in God, but this situation seems to defy all logic and reason. And she's confused, and then she questions God using logic and reason. "How can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." And Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. At the end of Mary's encounter with this illogical and irrational situation of being a virgin who's about to give birth to the Son of God, she is faced with confusion and she is questioning the authenticity of what God is actually saying. And at the very end, she says, "Let everything you have said about me come true." So many times we jump to this last part and we're like, hey, Mary's sure faith was strong the entire time. It was great, but not necessarily. First thing I want you to know this morning is that it's okay to be confused and to question when you're faced with an illogical or irrational situation. It's okay to question if God is really there when tragedy strikes your family. And you have to decide if you're going to pull the plug on a family member or not. Or if you're going to move because you've lost your job. It's okay to be confused when a tsunami wipes out an entire coastline of 150,000 people. And you thought that God was a God of love and mercy. So how can a God of love and mercy allow something to happen? It's okay to doubt God when the situation you find yourself in doesn't seem to make sense. Why did you start that new business during COVID? Why did you buy that property when prices are sky high? Why did you quit your job and start doing something else? Why is your family going through this difficult season? It doesn't make sense. Even the mother of Jesus had her moment of confusion and questioning what God was trying to do. But she didn't stay there. She remembered that God had a greater purpose for her life. And God has a greater purpose for you. See, when you face moments and situations in life that defy all logic and reason, you need to believe that God has a greater purpose for you. That's where Mary was at. She responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." She had heard the voice of God before, and God had told her the plan and purpose for her life, that he was going to use her to do great and mighty things for his kingdom and for his glory. And she says, "May everything you have said come true." In those moments when your situation becomes illogical, let your irrational faith come through like Mary's and say, even when the situation doesn't make sense, may everything you have said about me before come true, Lord, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, that I am a child of God, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, that the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but you have given life and life to the fullest. Let your faith go beyond the normalcy of what you think to be true, and remember the promises that the God of the universe has promised you will come through, even when it seems impossible. See, in the middle of your doubt and confusion, remember that God has a purpose for your life greater than the current situation you are in. I remember about 6.5 years ago, right before Kinsey and I got married, we were both still in college. I think I was wrapping up my junior year in college. She was wrapping up her sophomore year. And that summer, we were getting married. And everybody and their dog told us not to get married until we were out of college. We're like, yeah, that is great, sound, logical, rational advice. But we really believed that the Lord wanted us to get married when we did. And we were still in school. So we get married. I have a year of school left. She has 2 years of school left. And we start looking at our lovely finances as a new married family. It's like we cannot both be full-time students and be married and pay our bills. It's impossible. If we want to take out extra student loans to cover our expenses, we could do that, but that just seems stupid to us. So like, man, what are we going to do? Because we both felt like God had called us to what we were going to school for. I was going to Bible college to become a pastor, to become a minister, to preach the word and to lead God's church and his people. Kinsey was going through nursing school to become a nurse so she could do what God has called her to do, so she can help communities that we pastor in and go around the entire world doing healthcare missions for people that don't have access to healthcare. We felt like we were doing what God had called us to do, but in this moment, it seemed like it wasn't going to work out. The only thing that we could come up with, and it seemed illogical to us at the time because of what we knew God had called us to do, was for one of us to no longer be a full-time student and to work full-time. So I had a year left of my undergraduate degree. I went and I got a job full-time working at the courthouse. And our local courthouse. And it was a great job. And I took adult studies classes at night. I went 2 to 3 times a week from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. after I got off of work. And I did all of my classes. And I graduated that year that I was supposed to graduate in a very non-traditional way. And the whole time that we were doing this, we're just like, man, what are we doing? Like this doesn't make sense. Like maybe we should have listened to all of those people that told us to wait until we got married in order, wait until we graduated in order to get married. Maybe we should have done all this stuff, but here's what we learned. Those first 2 years of marriage, while one of us was still in college, was one of the most resourceful years of our lives. There were times where we didn't have enough money to put gas in the gas tank to drive 5 miles to Walmart and then buy groceries for dinner. So we would walk 5 miles one way to Walmart so we could buy the groceries and come back. Those were the most resourceful years where our faith actually increased because of the irrationality of what it seemed like our situation actually was. We knew that God had a greater purpose for us. And the seemingly illogical decision we made, while it was challenging and it seemed impossible at times, is what gave us the ability to do things like move to 10 sleep, begin to fulfill the purpose that we believe God created us for, to share the good news of the grace and love of Jesus Christ to everyone in 10 sleep, the Bighorn Basin, and the rest of the world. We remembered through the difficult moments what God had called us to do. And we simply said, Lord, may everything you have said about me before come true. It may not come true the way that you thought it would or the way that you would like it to. But if you trust in the Lord, it will come through. You may be in a season in life that seems illogical or the decision you're making is irrational. But remember that if God is the one telling you to take that step, then he still has a greater purpose for your life. If you go back with me now to Matthew chapter 1, I want us to look at Joseph's response to this impossible and illogical situation of Mary being pregnant while still being a virgin. It says this after verse 18, starting in 19. It says, Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Now, if you do like a lot of us do, and you read a passage of scripture like this, and you just read it, you can miss a lot of what's going on. Because Joseph really develops in his faith in just 6 verses right here. There's a couple of things that we can learn from Joseph when life has gone beyond normal and it seems like our faith is irrational. What we see is this from Joseph, that when you face moments and situations in life that defy all logic and reason, continue living your life for the Lord. Continue living your life for the Lord. See, it's easy to gloss over how Joseph is acting and to treat him as the bad guy for not having as much faith as Mary. But don't miss what verse 19 is really saying. Verse 19 says this, Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man. And he did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. Joseph wasn't going to be vicious. He's like, hey, this doesn't make any sense. It's not a rational thing. Imagine how it would be if your fiance came to you and said, hey, I'm pregnant, but I haven't been with anybody. Be like, you're crazy. You're cuckoo. You would be telling everybody, stay away from this chick. She's crazy. That's what I'd be doing. And Joseph says, hey, I'm a righteous man. I'm a loving man. I'm a man who has experienced the mercy of the Lord, so I'm going to extend mercy to Mary. I'm going to show her compassion. Joseph had every right in the eyes of the Jewish community to call Mary out as an adulterer and ensure that she lived in shame and guilt and never married again. In fact, he had the right, because there was actually a legal contract with their betrothal, that he could have even had her killed if he took it far enough because of what he presumed was her unfaithfulness. But he was a righteous man. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He showed her mercy and grace and compassion, even when he didn't have to. See, there will be times when you are faced with what looks like an impossible decision. To the world, you're justified in leaving the church, in abandoning your faith, in divorcing your spouse, and not tithing and giving to the Lord what is his. Maybe not taking a Sabbath day of rest and working on your business instead. You're justified to the world. But when you're faced with an impossible decision, you must still live your life for the Lord. If you continue to live for the Lord, that is where there is an irrationality to our faith. God, it doesn't make sense. God, I need the income into my business. What do you mean take a Sabbath day of rest? God, I'm struggling to pay my bills. What do you mean I need to tithe to the church? And God says, yes, your faith may seem irrational, but in this moment, if you continue to live your life for me, you will see the abundance of what I'm going to bring you. When you're in a season of life that's beyond what is normal with your health, your finances, your family stresses, or anything else, it can be easy to flip-flop. Anybody wear flip-flops? Anybody wearing flip-flops right now? Wearing, a couple people wearing flip-flops. I'm not a big flip-flop guy. One, I don't like the noise. I don't like the flip-flop. It sounds weird. But it's easy when we get into these seasons of life that go beyond what is normal that we flip-flop, to just casually go with the flow. Most of the time, if I'm wearing flip-flops, it's because I am very casual. I'm walking on the sand in the beach, or I'm just going to, you know, camping and going to a shower house or something. Just a very casual, laid-back, going with the flow. When in reality, in these situations in life, what you need to do is put on your hiking shoes and prepare to do the hard work and go the distance in your faith. See, when you wear flip-flops, they seem cool. Things are laid back. You've gotten rid of the distractions and the difficulties, and you're just enjoying your life. No more thinking about faith and God, if he's real or not, if he's really going to support your family and guide you through this struggle. The problem is, life still happens even when you wear flip-flops. I have been in situations where I'm wearing flip-flops, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, you need to run. Life happens. Your child is choking on a sucker, or the water's running over the bathtub, or whatever it is, and you have to run. And what happens when you run in flip-flops? They break every single time. And every time I have had a flip-flop break on me, it has not been when I was in a comfortable place for it to break. It's when I'm walking on hot pavement and asphalt and still have a quarter of a mile to go back to the house on a broken flip-flop. It's when I'm taking the garbage out to the dumpster and all of a sudden my flip-flop breaks and I have to walk all over these rocks to get back into the house. It's never a good time. Life still happens. When it's time to put in the work and you haven't been living your life for the Lord, instead, you've been flip-flopping back and forth between him and the world. You start to put in the effort with your faith, your flip-flop breaks. We've all been there. You're just done. But when you walk the narrow path, constantly following the Lord, even when life gets difficult, you're ready to go the extra mile. You still live your life with honor, integrity, righteousness, humility, and grace. When you do that, you will find that when life starts to get hard, you will make it. If you continue to live your life for the Lord, even during the illogical and irrational seasons of life, you will find that the Lord will speak to you. And when that time comes, you listen and obey the Holy Spirit. Last thing this morning. When you face moments and situations in life that defy all logic and reason, listen and obey the Holy Spirit. Now, let me make a caveat here. You can only listen and obey the Holy Spirit if you continue to live your life for the Lord. Because if you're just flip-flopping back and forth, hey, this doesn't make sense. I'm not sure if God is really with me or not and what's going on. And life hits hard and your flip-flop breaks and your faith is done. It's very hard when the Lord starts to knock on your heart. You've already built up some barriers. You've already got some calluses. And it's really hard to listen to the Holy Spirit and obey Him. But if you continue to live your life for the Lord, then in those moments where He speaks, you can listen and obey. See, Joseph, he lived a righteous life. He was still living for the Lord. He was still trying to be the great godly man that God had called him to do, even in this impossible, illogical, and irrational situation. Joseph was in what seemed like the worst situation ever. There's no way, he thought, that Mary is still a virgin and also pregnant with the Messiah. And when faced with this impossible situation, he didn't abandon his faith. He continued to do what the Lord wanted him to do. And because he never left God, even when he faced doubt and he questioned and was confused, the Lord spoke to him. Matthew, verse 24. God sent him an angel to tell him everything Mary had said was true, and that this is what the Lord had planned for their lives. And when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Because he continued to serve the Lord spoke to Joseph in a beautiful dream and said, Joseph, this doesn't make sense to you. And it might never make sense to you, but if you just trust me, if you trust my plan, if you truly believe that my ways are greater than your ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, then I promise you it will work out in the end. And Joseph said, okay, Lord, I have listened to what you had to say. And when he woke up from that dream, he had the decision. Was he going to obey what God had just told him or completely dismiss it? And he said, I will obey. I will do as the angel of the Lord has commanded. I will take Mary as my wife, and I will raise this Jesus as my son. Joseph listened and obeyed, and the truth of God's word came to pass. This morning, you may be struggling with your faith. Maybe you're like the rational atheist, and to you, believing in a God born of a virgin, it's not rational. I encourage you to truly pray and seek the Lord. If God is not real, then you have nothing to worry about. He won't speak. But if he is, he will speak to you just like he did to Mary and Joseph and to the billions of people who call on him as their Savior. And your irrational faith will come alive with truth and understanding. Maybe this morning you fall more in line with the nihilist. You look at life and you see rationality as nothing more than a construct to try and make sense of the world. That it was created out of chance and nothing more. But I posit to you, out of all of the chances in the world, does one of those chances somehow include a God who loves you so much that he sent his son to this world to die for your salvation? Is it really outside the realm of possibility? Again, seek the Holy Spirit. Listen for his voice and he will make himself known to you. But maybe for most of us, you don't struggle with your faith in the way of wondering if God is real or not. But you have moments more like C.S. Lewis and Mary and Joseph, where the situations you find yourself in through the course of life cause you to question if God is really there. If he is with you, and if he cares about you, and if he truly has a purpose for your life, and if it's all just a lost cause. Just know that you're in good company. Even Mary and Joseph went through illogical and impossible situations, but their irrational faith got them through it. We all go through challenging, illogical, and situations at some point in our lives, but when we face moments in life that seem to defy all logic and reason, we place our faith in the God who defies all logic and reason. He's the God of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one whose supernatural power and might is not fully known, but is willing to reveal it to you if you simply live your life for him and listen and obey when he speaks. If you're in a difficult season of life, I know I am, I want to encourage you to let your faith be irrational and trust in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Let me pray over you all this morning. God, we thank you that you are a supernatural God. You are a God that is way more infinite than us finite beings. God, we have to put things into rationality and logic because we can only consume so much logic and rational thought and reason in our finite mind. But you are so much greater than that. So in these moments and times and courses throughout our life, when we face situations that seem illogical and impossible, God, I quit my job, but you told me to, and I don't know how to make ends meet for my family. God, you said that you were my healer, but here I am, hurting and in pain. God, I pray in those illogical and irrational moments, we remember that our God is greater than logic and reasoning. Let us remember, God, that you have a plan and a purpose for our life. To hold on to the truth of your word. That this is just a temporary moment. You have greater things in store for us. God, I pray in those moments that those situations will not sway our faith, but in fact, our faith will grow stronger to get us through those difficult moments in life. That we will continue to serve you. And we will be open to hearing you speak about the steps we should take and what we should do to get through these storms and these times in our lives. No matter what irrationality or illogical thing is happening around us, you are the God who puts everything into order. You created this world from day one through day six, order after order after order. Lord, we see in Corinthians even that you say that your Holy Spirit works decently and in order. And when our life seems chaotic, we turn to you, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who puts everything into order for us. Thank you for being our God, leading us beyond what is normal and into a greater faith in you. Lord, may you bless us and keep us. May your face shine upon us. Thank you for us gathering together to worship you. Until we meet again, in your holy, mighty name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Let's enjoy some fellowship in the back. We have some coffee and donuts. We'd love to hang out, fellowship, talk with each of you. Enjoy your time before you go to lunch or whatever your plans are. Be